Good morning, and you're tuned in to another exciting edition of MPI New York with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic in podcast form. Can't come to you live because I'm teaching the kiddies later this morning. 69 degrees and the winds out of the north-northeast right here in Brooklyn, New York. Humidity is low, so we're expecting a nice, cool summer day. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a great one as well. Thank you for asking. And let's get right into it. Putin and Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker met either Thursday or Friday. I'm really sure today. Yeah, everything is a blur now with this clown in office. And promptly capitulated. Promptly forgave Russia for meddling on our election. Arguably an act of war. And indicated that he'd like to move on. I know it's absolutely outrageous. So we immediately, as is our wont, got on social media and really let him have it. And then our coverage was followed by mainstream media and some other influential blogs. But it's just absolutely outrageous, and you know, and I was heartened, even though I don't agree, obviously, with Republican priorities, to hear South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham come out with a full-throated criticism of Chump's determination to try and. And just extricate, allow Russia to extricate itself. You didn't talk about any sanctions, and there is some scuttlebutt about indicating that the two compounds seized by the Obama administration, despite the protestations of his detractors to the contrary, quoting that Obama did nothing, or why didn't Obama do something? Obama did do something. He expelled the Russian diplomats, a.k.a. spies, and seized two compounds, one in Maryland and the other in New York. Interesting two states in which I have business relationships. And the scuttlebutt is that the Trump administration is quietly trying to give those two compounds back. So, you know, the question that you have to ask yourself is, why is Rump opposing intel from his own intelligence community? And his argument, the argument that his lemmings gleefully regurgitate uncritically, is that, you know, the intel, the intelligence community's got it wrong, or the two or the three that are involved in this particular case during the Iraq war. No, they didn't get it wrong. Both Cheney and Bush were provided with evidence that did not suggest, in a full-throated manner, Iraq or Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. That's the intel that they wanted. So they shaped the intel to fit their agenda, which was this disastrous war in Iraq that led to ISIL. You know, people don't know. And let's just give a brief, really brief geopolitical lesson here, because it affects us all. And the one thing I remember about that debacle is that I don't know whether it was Bush or the Secretary of Defense at the time that came out and claimed that, you know, the Iraq war, might have been Cheney, was going to pay for itself, you know, with the war revenues and this sort of thing. Never materialized. You know, we lost a lot of soldiers, Marine, airmen, sailors, Coast Guardsmen in that disaster, and we wind up paying for it. So, you know, a lot of blood and treasure. But one of the most disastrous decisions by both the Bush and the Obama administration. I'm not, and you know, Obama is deserving of criticism. You know, I'm willing to levy it. Is that they disbanded the Iraqi army over the protestations of the generals. You know, the Pentagon, Defense Department said that you can't do that, and they did it. And these disaffected, highly trained soldiers, you know, very experienced warriors, promptly formed ISIL. That's where ISIL came from. They were Sunnis, and they were fighting against Iran surrogates who were Shiite. And the distinction between the two is something that's beyond the scope of this show, at least. But one follows the family, and another follows the Sunnah, or the Prophet Muhammad. Then you have all these other factions that have gotten involved. That being said, now we're in a situation where Putin is trying to prop up Assad in Syria. Assad was teetering. Had Russia not intervened in the nick of time, the Syrian regime would have collapsed by now. But the problem is that we would have even wider spread problem over there, which is why I thought that Obama was prudent in not sending more troops. Rump is quietly attempting to do so, and attempting to do so also in Afghanistan. You know, the Russians got their ass handed to them in Afghanistan, let's be honest about it, in the 90s, and decimated the economy. They nearly went bankrupt. A lot of blood and treasure from that country left in the mountains. And, you know, Afghanistan is a very mountainous country, very, you know, remote. You know, in a lot of ways, very primitive. Not necessarily, the people, but certainly the environment. So, you know, there's a lot of problems over there, and I don't believe that Chump the Brain Dead comic Connor Barker has the native intellect or has the grasp of geopolitical affairs necessary to navigate successfully between these competing factions, competing interests. In that region of the world, and there are experts that he refuses to listen to, just like in this case with the intel community. You know, everybody knows that Cheney and Bush shaped that intel to justify going into Iraq. That's a fact. And then he's trying to lay it on the feet at the intel of the intel community. You know, all these seasoned, experienced intelligence officers. And my question to you boys and girls is, how long is this going to last? How long is the intelligence community, the security forces, FBI, and CIA, NSA, all the branches have their own G2s or intelligence arms, Air Force Intelligence, Naval Intelligence, etc. When is this going to, when are they going to say, hey, enough's enough, this guy's been dumping on us? When are they going to find that smoking gun that he, and they're closing it, you know, Robert Mueller, the special counsel appointed by Rod Rosenstein, who used to be acting attorney general in Maryland, a worthless guy, you know, a typical Jew lawyer who worked his way up into the highest levels of influence in the Justice Department, and he eventually garnered a coveted attorney general berth in Maryland. You know, when the outgoing or when the attorney general was there, either resigned or retired. I'm not really sure what happened. And then was nominated for deputy attorney general. You know. One of numerous extraordinarily important spots in the government that Rump grudgingly filled, and when Sessions, this liar, had to eventually recuse himself to Trump's chagrin from the active Russia inquiry at the time. Then Rosenstein stepped in and promptly fell into Comey's trap. And I'm not a fan of James Comey. I think he did a disservice to himself and the department, and certainly the FBI. But he was well respected there. And again, a lot of this has to do with white male privilege. But that's another story for another day. We're left now with Trump desperately trying to to extricate itself from an investigation that seems to be closing in on very close associates of his, including his son, who is said to have met with a Russian lawyer, or a lawyer with close ties to Russia. So they're getting really, really close. I understand over the weekend or last week that Mueller hired some really high-powered talent, or, you know, seconded from Justice Department. So, you know, when you hire prosecutors as opposed to investigators, it means you have all the evidence that you need. Now they just need to build a case, and from what I understand, these people are the best of the best. And the government doesn't screw around, man. If they come after you, typically, you know, unless you have extraordinarily deep pockets, man, they're going to get you. And for him to hire all these seasoned prosecutors does not bode well for Trump to Comic Carnival Barker, brain dead Comic Carnival Barker, and family. So I can't wait to see where this goes. But behind the scenes, Pence is quietly courting a lot of donors. There's an article in the New York Times this morning where he is courting donors and, you know, making his own moves. Now, here's a guy who is a right-wing zealot, ran Indiana basically into the ground, and now is, you know, was basically saved by his nomination as president or vice president in the Trump administration. So he was able to, you know, reestablish not credibility, but certainly some cover from his colleagues in the Senate. He was a former senator, from what I understand, from Indiana. And now he's being touted as the next best thing to slice white bread, which we all know is just foolishness. You know, he was the author of this bill similar to North Carolina, where they were going to deny certain rights to the transgender community. You know, I'm kind of torn with that, but I understand that in this country, the way we conduct our affairs is that everyone deserves equal opportunity, even though it doesn't work out in reality like that. I mean, you can, and the government is impotent. You know, we become corrupted, and you know, I wrote a piece about this. We're going to post it on eastnewyorkmanagement.net, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. You can also go there and see what we do, by the way. Let's take a break and come back on the other side. And we're back here at MPI New York. Yours truly, D. Shipman, sitting in at the mic, 69 degrees outside and sunny. And I don't know why these spots are playing back-to-back like that. I don't have them set up like that, and I don't know. The operating system updated. You know, we're in Windows 10 territory now. And they just came out with the second version, and so they don't call it like a new build. They just say it's to, not even a second version. Yeah, a new version, 1502 or something like that, whatever. And it's doing something with my software. So I'm going to have to, at some point, I'm busy this morning, obviously I'm teaching later, and then when I return, I have a little time before the little tyke comes home from day camp, and I'll try to figure out what it's doing, why all my settings have changed. That's what it seems like. It seems like it changed quite a few settings, so I'm going to check that out and see what happens. Charles Blow of the New York Times has a fascinating piece out, and let's see if we can pull it up. I was reading it just before, rather in preparation for the show. Let's take a read, because he entitles it Putin Meets His Progeny, Charles M. Blow, dated July 10th, 2017. Team Trump wants us all to get over this annoying Russian thing and just move on. Sorry, sir, not going to happen. At the G20 meeting in Hamburg, Germany, Donald Trump met with Russian President Vladimir Putin, a man whose thumb was all over the scale that delivered Trump's victory. It was like a father meeting his offspring, but was it their first meeting? Maybe, maybe not. For years, Trump claimed that he had not only claimed that he met Putin, but also the two men had a great relationship. Then in 2016, came about face. At a news conference, Trump said, "I never met Putin. I don't know who Putin is," end quote. This coincidentally was the same news conference at which he encouraged Russia's cyber attacker Hillary Clinton's campaign to find, quote-unquote, 30,000 emails that are missing, end quote. Thereafter, Trump would repeatedly deny meeting Putin or knowing him. Clearly, Trump having a great relationship with Putin and Trump not knowing Putin at all cannot both be true. I say this to remind you of something that can never allow to become normal and never allow to become acceptable. Our president is a pathological liar. He lies about everything all the time. Lying is his resting condition. Therefore, absolutely nothing he or his team says is to be believed, ever. With that in mind, we are told by Rex Tillerson, our Secretary of State and the man upon whom Putin bestowed Russia's order of friendship, that Trump opened his meeting with Russian President Putin by raising the concerns of the American people regarding Russian interference of the 2016 election. And Trump repeatedly pressed Putin on the issue. Of course, Putin denied, again, Russian involvement. The Russians say Trump accepted Putin's denial, although the White House denied that account. Trump is full of lies and Putin is full of tricks. Who to believe? Tillerson telling gives pause. When asked as Trump spelled out consequences Russia would face for their attack on our election, Tillerson said Trump and Putin focused on how we move forward because it's not clear to me we will ever come to some agreed upon resolution to that question between the two nations. At another point, Tillerson said Trump and Putin agreed to establish a working level group around a cyber issue and this issue of not interference. This is outrageous. And it's outrageous for me, and this is why we immediately, I mean, it was stunning. Back to the article, I didn't get the sense that Trump strongly asserted as fact that Russia attacked our elections or that Trump would seek to punish Russia. The reading, or the readout, rather, tells the opposite story, one of Russia being let off the hook. And this whole business of setting up a cybersecurity working group, the Russians like inviting the burglar to help you design your alarm system. In a Twitter tirade Sunday morning, Trump wrote, "I strongly pressed President Putin twice about Russian meddling in our election. He vehemently denied it. I've already given my opinion." But Trump's opinion, as expressed the day before his meeting with Putin, was that the source of the attack was something of an open question. At a news conference in Warsaw, Poland, Trump said, "I think it could very well have been Russia, but I think it could well have been other countries." That this is a slap in the face to our intelligence community that has unanimously rendered their verdict. It was Russia. Trump continued on Twitter, "We negotiated a ceasefire in parts of Syria, which will save lives. Now it's time to move forward and work constructively with Russia." "No, sir, this is not the time to move forward with Russia, but rather the time to move forward against it. Last week, CNN reported that Russian spies are ramping up the intelligence gathering efforts in the U.S., according to current and former U.S. intelligence officials who say they have noticed an increase since the election. CNN continued, the officials say they believe one of the biggest U.S. adversaries feels emboldened by the lack of a significant retaliatory response from both the Trump and Obama administrations. And on Saturday, the New York Times reported on another undisclosed meeting between members of Trump's campaign and people connected to the Kremlin, writing 2 weeks after Donald J. Trump clinched the Republican presidential nomination last year, his eldest son arranged a meeting at Trump Tower in Manhattan with a Russian lawyer who has connections to the Kremlin, according to confidential government records described to the New York Times. The Times continued, the previously unreported meeting was also attended by Mr. Trump's campaign chairman at the time, Paul J. Manafort, as well as the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The Times pointed out that the meeting was the first confirmed private meeting between a Russian national and members of Mr. Trump's inner circle during the campaign. America is under sustained, possibly even accelerated, attack by a foreign power, the same one that attacked our election. And Trump not only wavers on the source of the attack, but also refuses to condemn the culprit and, in fact, has a penchant for praising him. This whole thing stinks to high heaven, and we must press on until we uncover the source of the rot. Excellent point by Charles Blow, columnist for the New York Times. Let's take another break and come back on the other side of the break and finish up. And we're back here in NPI, New York. Yours truly, Dennis D. Shippen, had a brain fog there for a second. 69 degrees here in New York and sunny. Rather mild summer day. July 10th, 2017, Monday. And this month is just flying past. I was in church in the morning. The pastor, yesterday morning, by the way, the pastor was saying how 2017 is just flying past absolutely extreme. The older you get, man, the faster it seems the time goes. When you're young, you can't wait till you become an adult. And when you're an adult, you can't wait for it to all slow down. It's going so fast. So we're going to continue with this story. Continue talking about this story because it's very important. And there's no doubt about it that Chump, the brain-dead comic Carnival Barker, is protecting somebody. If he wasn't personally involved, you know, this, as Charles Blow says, this penchant for adoration, this, you know, fascination for all things Putin, it's extraordinarily troubling. But we're seeing some definitive connections being made, and certainly we can see them as laypersons, you know, these career prosecutors in the Department of Justice that are seconded to... special counsel can also see these connections, and they're going to start connecting the dots, and someone is going to federal prison as a consequence of this, trust me on that. So we're going to definitely be keeping tuned in right here at Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition, and keeping you abreast. So have a good week.